the next. It's still weird. I got to catch my breath. But you guys know I talk fast, so I really need the breath. So, you know, who got their picture taken for the directory? Show of hands. All right, good job. You guys, was it fun? You have to dress up. Everyone's like, wow, what are you doing here? Picture day. You ever find it funny that people want to take pictures and they want to make it? And this is not against Barbara because she was taking pictures this morning, but I always find it funny. They want to make it candid, but then they're like, okay, do something like you're not like I'm not here, but smile and look happy. And I'm like, I don't know. I have a hard time with that. I think it's funny. You know, our kids, Aubrey's trained Joe well. Josiah knows when to pose. You know, when he was young and ladies would touch his hair in like the grocery store, he would get ready. He'd come up and go, You like the red hair, you know, and so when he sees a camera, Joe just goes, he turns and smiles. Derek is funny. He looks at like, what are you doing? You know, he knows that he's taking a picture, but he hasn't learned from mommy yet. You got to smile when that camera's on. So it's just kind of funny how we do that. I think it's great. But I don't know. Do other cultures have the same kind of camera things as we do? Do you think? You think we go someplace and people are like, what are you doing? I don't know. I wonder, but just thinking of cameras, and we do some crazy things. We did this yesterday, and I thought it was fun when we heard that was coming up, and I knew Pastor Gene was gone. I started playing around, and I'm just amateuring in Photoshop, but I got an old picture of Gene, and I thought it'd be fun just to do it up a little bit and clean it up and see how we did. So I didn't do too much to it, but you can take a look here, Gene in the 70s. He's changed a little bit, but not too much. I just touched him up a little bit around the eyes, and the hair took out some wrinkles, but he looks great. Yeah. Well, speaking of pictures and crazy things, Aubrey knows I'm bad with pictures. Barbara knows I'm bad with pictures. That's why she had to go to Aubrey to get pictures from me. But I have a hard time remembering. I didn't make memories with photos when I was a kid. But I want to show you guys some photos that we got together from our Six Flags trip we did about 2 weeks ago with the youth. So I'm going to play a little video. Hope you guys enjoy it. It's a little brief. There is a roller coaster montage kind of thing. So I got sick watching it. Close your eyes if you have to. Dancing is okay. We could have had a dance-off. You could have challenged Cynthia, but she backed off. That's all right. No, but, you know, it's interesting. You guys saw Cynthia dancing. I heard she's not here, so I was cool to play this. The funny thing, of course, as you can imagine, that was a very upbeat song. It was not the song that we were listening to. I thought it was rather interesting. When we went there, what kind of music style do you think was being sung typically at a worship day at a concert or at a park? Give me music styles. What do you think you heard mostly? Not bark. No, I don't know what kind that is. What's up? Hip-hop. That was it, man. We heard a lot of hip-hop, right? And so this is what Cynthia was dancing to. I'm going to give you a quick little thing here. Like I said, props really go to Cynthia. She deserves that. Now, just like we can have our own preferences on music, and again, I think what it all boils down to for a lot of us is the content and the message that we're delivering, and we can take it a little too far sometimes when Bibleism and tribalism, when we start to divide the body of Christ over things, maybe we shouldn't. And you guys are going to notice that. Number one, your programs are funny because you'll have to flip it upside down to get the other side. That was on me. Some of you might also have some missing letters. That was also on me. I apologize. I just want to make it challenging for you because I know you can reach that level. And yeah, it was all for you. So you guys might notice on the back it says Bibleism and tribalism, trouble with translations, trends toward tribalism, of a troubling type. I love alliteration. I apologize. It's childish, but I really, really enjoy it. So, yeah, you might want to put that in there if you'd enjoy. There are blanks on there. Trouble with translation is 10 trends toward tribalism of a troubling type. Say that 5 times fast. I'll give you $5. See me after. All right. If you guys see this little thing show up there, it means, hey, I'm probably going to be gabbing a lot. And if that shows up, it means I need to shut up so you can write something. So if you see that little thing on there, it means, hey, just a case in point, there's a blank I'd like you to fill in. You guys do have a blank side for your own personal notes. I'd encourage you to take them as you see fit, as the Lord leads. Taking a look here, let me ask you this. What is your preferred Bible version? Let's take a look here. How many King Jimmies do we have in here? King James? All right. That's not bad. It's okay, guys. Don't be afraid. It's a good man. How many NIVs we got? All right. That's pretty good. Not too bad. How many NASBs? All right. All right. How about, because we're going kind of down, you know, so we're kind of getting smaller in numbers here. Anybody have any New Living Translations? NLTs? I see some NLTs out there. All right. What other things? If I haven't said your thing, what do you guys have? Living Bible, very good. All right, Living Bible. Amplified, the Bible for the heart of hearing. Very good. Yeah. I need that Bible. No, Amplified Bible is a cool Bible. It just takes a long time to read. That's actually, but they normally do it for a version. So it could be, but those are good. Don't trip. Girl, I got boxes of Bibles. You start looking through stuff going, man, so-and-so gave me that for a graduation. I got this. Really? Oh, okay. That's okay. All right. So, you know what? We all have different preferences in this, and I think you're right. Now, don't get ahead of me. We're going to talk about differences, and I know some things aren't just preferences. There's important matters to consider. But before we go on, I would like to take a quick look at this. We start to wonder, of course, why there's so many. Let's just do a quick thing, and just this is almost like a kind of a joke. No offense is intended. This is just someone else's generalization of some of the mainline modern translations. The New Living Translation, they say, he's a nice guy, but a little immature. Again, I'm not saying I believe this. Just saying, if this guy here who made these. Frequently gets in trouble with the older crowd, but he still likes VeggieTales. I agree with that. VeggieTales are still cool. All right. They have the King James thing. People kind of assume it's like they always talk about the good old days, don't really get the youth, always thinks they're right, and they can be heard things like saying it was good enough for Spurgeon. Who are you to argue with me? You know, and that's right. Spurgeon had no problem with King Jimmy. That's okay. And then we have, of course, the ESV Bible. One cool cat. All the popular folks like him. His recent success may be going to his head a little bit. He was reformed before it was cool. A lot of churches go into ESV. And then, of course, we have the NASB. Kind of a, I think it gets kind of stamped as a nerd Bible. Intelligent and analytical, a little socially awkward, engineering major, slightly pretentious. So, nothing against engineers. Sorry, Mitchell. And the NIV was super popular in high school, got caught up with the wrong crowd, and never quite was the same after that. Again, this is an overgeneralization. The funny thing about Bible versions is that when people talk about your Bible version, it's almost like they're talking about your mama. And you get into like your mama jokes, and then it's on. So let's skip out of that a little bit. This is something here, and I should ask you to write it down. I would like you to write down on your thing, what is your preferred Bible version? There's lots of them to consider. We've gone through a few. You guys have told me about them. Here's a few just to remind you of some that are out there. We've had a lot of these up here so far. There's New King James I forgot to ask about. No offense to New King James people. I'm just nervous, so I talk fast and I forget stuff. These are a few that are out there. The crazy thing is there's a lot more than even that's out there. So jumping ahead here, why are there so many Bible translations? We're going to take a little brief walk through history today, and I know that's boring because not many people like history class, but I'm going to try to go through it quickly, that's why I talk fast, so we can get through some of the history, but it's interesting to see how we got our Bible in English. There's four key events that really paved the road for us getting an English Bible. Number one is the spread of Christianity over into Britain. Thank you, Lord. Number two, of course, is the development of English language. It wasn't always there. Number three was the reign of the Latin as the primary language for the Bible, kept it for a long time. And then, of course, we have the Roman Catholic Church's decline in power in the 1500s. That's going to help us out. But just going through a thing, these are at least for about 500 years from the 7th century to 11th, we see how things are being translated over, at least into like the Anglo-Saxon language from Latin at the time. And so things are kind of going over just a little bit, but that's not a lot in 500 years, right? We know that Christianity probably touched the British Isles somewhere around 37 AD with missionaries within the Celtic people. And then over time, it didn't really take on until the 600s. Middle English versions, you see, they're a little bit more. We see Mr. Wycliffe, which you probably have heard his name before. Slow down, John. All right, thank you. I just heard that sonic booms are shaking windows. I'm going to have to slow down a little bit. So in about 800 years, not much more, but some cool stuff really starts to happen here in the 16th century. Who can tell me some big, big things that would contribute to all of these versions starting to come out? Tell me some changes that have been going on. Printing press. Absolutely right. Printing press is out. That means we can make stuff quicker than writing anyways. What else happened around this time? Maybe in the last few hundred years around it. Yep, I've heard Martin Luther. I heard Reformation. That's right. Yeah, Martin Luther here. Wasn't this 57 years? This guy kind of shows up, right? Protesting stuff. That's why they call it the Protestant Reformation. So big thing in there. What else was really big that happened that brought a lot of this Bible stuff to life? Do we know? Think about over what happened a little while ago when guys were carrying crosses on shields and swords and stuff. They went for the Crusades, that's right. Well, the Ottoman Turks were coming against the Eastern Empire, and you have a lot of Christians who were fleeing Turkey, getting the heck out of Dodge, because the Muslims are coming. So they run away, and what do they bring with them but a rich tradition of Greek texts, which had been typically left alone and not really delved into for quite a long time, and we think it helped to awaken a lot of these people saying, wow, we've got some stuff, let's dig around and let's see what we can do. And so it's neat when this Greek stuff comes in, we start seeing things change. Then, of course, we get into the 16th century, and what is everybody's favorite thing that happened in 1611? That is correct. The Authorized Bible, the King James Version. It wasn't the first official English Bible, but it was probably the most well-known because it was the major translation for English speakers for like 250 years. That's pretty amazing and impressive considering it is still one of the most well-loved, if not the today, by a lot of people. That's a hugely popular Bible, right? So this is a cool thing we have. The thing that was even after that, we still have all of these other things coming out. What else has happened in the 18th to 19th century? What do we see a lot of? Anybody remember going back in history? I'm bad with history. I'm asking because I might have forgotten something. What's up? Archaeology. People are starting to dig a lot more in the dirt, right? They're finding stuff. And that's going to come up to they found some other things, right? we're going to get there. And that's why when you come to the 20th century, it's like, whoa, what happened? All of a sudden, from the end of the 19th century, we have so many versions coming out. A lot of it is from that archaeology. They have a great awakening, the enlightenment. People are looking and digging into other things. And so we've got this amazing plethora. And this is only up to 1982. This chart was just a little bit too old. There have been more Bible versions since then. And so a lot of this stuff we're looking at, and we're going to talk about the differences in a minute. So what is the big difference? First, let me slow down again. I know I'm getting caught up here. Let's just take a look at a generalization of some of the Bible versions you may have. What do you guys think a literal translation of the Bible means? There you go, Chuckles. Word for word. That's exactly right. So it is something they try to do it word for word, though. Can that get a little bit awkward sometimes? Clunky, maybe? It's even hard. Have you ever read an interlinear Bible and you read it in the same order, you know, of the Greek or the Hebrew? You're like, what are they talking about? I don't get this. It's a little bit difficult, right? And as you go from one side over to the other, you see the different versions going again, more functional, saying, look, this was what they were trying. We're going to switch around the words. Here's what they were trying to say. Or even further, this is what the meaning of it was. And the thing is, of course, when we go further and further one way, people start to say, hey, wait a second. Well, if you change it too much, maybe we're going to miss something here that we wouldn't have missed had we had it closer. And so there's a lot of preferences. Here's probably a better scale to look at it. Uh-oh, there's the pencil. I want you to write what your preferred Bible version, where it lands on here. Is yours more in the word-for-word area, thought-for-thought, or kind of a paraphrase? I'll give you a minute here. It's a little hard to see. I'm sorry. This is the interlinear New American Standard Amplified ESV, RSV, King James, New King James, Hardcore Southern Baptist, Holman Christian Standard Bible, NRSV, NAB, NJB, NIV, TNIV, a lot of NIVs now. He grew up and had kids. NCV, the NLT, NRV, GNT, don't think anyone has the good news here, but I could be wrong. CEV, the Living Bible, and the Message all the way at the end. So see where your thing kind of fits. And you can put down there, it is more of a this, but not a this and a this. And that's okay. But I'd like you to consider it. So at least kind of know about where your Bible rests on the spectrum. This isn't a perfect example. It's just an idea, an approximation of whereabouts when translating your Bible, it fell. Everybody cool? Okay. All right. Moving on. So what's the difference here? And there's two big things. You guys may have heard this before. There's two basic, and again, there's a lot of people who know so much more than me about this, and I guarantee there probably some of them are sitting in this room now. Feel free to correct in a polite way afterwards. There's pretty much two lines of tradition. One from down here, they say, is the Alexandrian tradition from Alexandria down in Egypt. The other from Antioch up here. And when you trace out these lines of scripture, we see that there are some subtle differences. And that's where people start to get into little problems. I don't do it because I want to say, look, let's look at all the problems here and make it big. But we should be biblically literate and intelligent and informed, right? I know for me, it's like, even if it's hard, I'd rather try to understand something and maybe be wrong about it, but to pursue it and admit, I don't know, but I'm learning, and I want to learn. And so we should do the same, because there are probably lots of young Christians who may be going through the same questions and same struggles and are wondering, what is the difference of this translation? Can you tell me? What about this? Where did this come from? So we're going to dig just a little bit into this here. Now, looking again here, the Alexandrian viewpoint typically is that these manuscripts, like Chuck had mentioned, typically these weren't found until a bit later. Archaeology was uncovering them. A lot of those transcripts were on papyrus. You guys know papyrus, right? The kind of joke is normally on papyrus, when you beat it out, there was only one side you could really write on that was nice. The other side was rough and icky, but the Christians were so poor they wrote on both sides anyways. So, you know, not a funny joke. If you're an archaeologist, though, it might be good. So you have this there. They're writing on this stuff here, but it's hard to keep. It doesn't. If it gets wet, it rots. But luckily, this is a dry area, so some stuff could be kept. Over here in the Antioch, this is where you have, again, more in the northern thing. This is kind of what fed the Byzantium Empire, right? The Byzantines. You got people up there when they brought those Greek New Testaments over during the Crusades, right? They said, hey, let's get out of here and flood that. So what we typically find is that we actually have a lot more of these preserved than these guys. But they figure these were probably maybe 100, 150 years before the other ones, going back in the tradition. And there are some differences that we're going to talk about. The thing about it is, though, is that a lot of people do know this, but it can almost become a fighting thing, even a horrible thing. Some people will say, and I'm not saying that they're wrong, I'm just saying that this is a viewpoint that you'll see out there, maybe you hold it, that the Alexandrian viewpoint is a line of corruption, that it indicates something that was bad, they aren't trustworthy, we can't rely on them, and the real good ones were the ones that came from Antioch. Now, those boil down to our modern translations. The sad thing is that sometimes even well-meaning Christians can kind of come across a little bit harsh.
I will look for you. I will find you. And I will kill you.
Just a little bit. So, what's the difference here? You take a look at the Antioch line. These are the pretty much the Bible versions you're going to see today that we get from that. And from the Alexandrian line, you find, again, kind of the newer modern Bibles. NASB, English Standard Version, Holman, and NIV, NLT. But there's some interesting. I want you guys to do a Bible drill. I want you to look up Book of John, chapter 5, verse 4 for me. You guys cheated. I didn't even say go yet. All right, go ahead and go. John 5, verse 4. When you get there, say amen.
Amen.
If you're not there, say hold up. All right. It's about a 50-50. We'll give it a sec. We good? Okay, amen. Amen. If you've got a King James Bible, tell me what it says. Somebody with a King James, raise your hand for me, please. Al, I see that hand. Thanks, Al. Could you guys turn red on? Oh, you did. Thank you. Or did you? Can we get red on for Al? It's on? My bad. Al?
Up there it says John 5, 4.
It sure does. That's right. Yeah, we want John chapter 5, verse 4. So we're still in John 4, 5. There we go. Okay, what does John 5, 4 say?
That's where I was, I think.
Oh, okay.
For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had.
Good job, Al. All right. Does anybody have New American? Let me see. I know it can be embarrassing. If you don't want to read, I won't make you. But we have some. Oh, yeah, Carl. Okay, coming. Please read your NASB, ma'am.
For an angel of the Lord went down at certain seasons into the pool and stirred up the water. Whoever then first, after the stirring up of the water, stepped in, was made well from whatever disease with which he was afflicted.
Excellent job. Does anybody from the NIV want to read that? That's where we get to the part. Yes, ma'am. You got it? That's okay. There's actually, it's kind of a trick question. I know I'm mean, but what we wanted to do, just to show you that some versions are not going to always have that in there. And this is the thing. That wasn't found in the Alexandrian texts. So the NIV left it out because they believed that this probably wasn't in the autographa or the originals, looking at the manuscript evidence. Now, some verses, you see how the NASB puts a little bracket around it? They'll tell you, hey, look at the bracket. We know this wasn't in all the manuscripts, but we're going to put this in there anyways and let you know. And so that's the idea, but it's actually not found in certain modern versions. If you take a look here, now what you might find in your NIVs, especially like a study Bible, if like that, if it's a version that might not have it, it will probably have a little note, and it'll give you that too.
Thank you. I know it's an NIV now.
Cool. Okay. Sweet. And this is one. I grew up on NIV. You know, when people ask me for gifts, I'll often buy them like an NIV Bible. I don't find it a horrible thing. But the thing is, this people sometimes don't know that there's a difference, and people are asked that, and they go like, oh my goodness, what happened? It ran away. You know, what's going on? And there's an easy explanation. What happens in here is you see these Bible translations. These are translations that either omitted, they might put it in brackets for you to know, hey, this wasn't in all the manuscripts, just an FYI. Sometimes they'll put it in a footnote. A lot of NIVs will do that for you. They won't put it in the main text, but they'll put it in a footnote on the side for you so you can see, hey, this wasn't in there from some of the earlier ones, but just so you have it, we'll give it to you. Some of them go ahead and take it out completely, but this is just an idea so you can kind of see what happens there. This is the problem here, but if you're wondering, oh my goodness, what do I do? There are resources that are going to help. It's not the end of the world. So taking a quick look at this, there are some free resources to help you. How many people use the internet to get Bible information? Yeah, pretty good. Now, first, there's some really good software out there, and some of it you have to pay a lot of money for. I still get calls from some guys. I bought stuff from them over 10 years ago. I'm like their best friend. I get calls at work. Have you thought about buying a new package? It's only going to be $1,500 to start. I'm like, no! What are you... No! That's ridiculous, but they try. And I say, guys, that's not cool for me right now. I'm sorry. Maybe one day, but not right now. Oh, okay, that's fine. We won't call you. And then I get a call 2 weeks later. Hey, have you thought about that package? You know, it's, oh my goodness, it's crazy. But the cool thing is that some of the software like this you can find, you can download it and use many resources for free. Logos is a wonderful resource. It's owned by Faith Life. You can buy that. Get free books, free resources, all kinds of Bibles, and you can have all kinds of Bibles next to you. Does anybody have a parallel Bible like this? You guys ever heard of this? Yeah, right? It's a good resource. It's just hard to lug around. So I carry, see, this is what I got. My mom and dad lovingly gave this to me when I started Bible college. It says, Ryan, this is September 25th, my birthday, 2002. It says, may God continually bless you with these 8 translations as you continue to grow in his wisdom, knowledge, and grace, his love forever. Love, mom and dad. That was very touching. I had forgotten about that until I picked it up like yesterday. And I'm like, oh, that was sweet. So anyways, touching moment. But that was the thing. But now my parallel Bible is much, much smaller. And it does a lot more. I'm not knocking this. I actually prefer, I was talking to Walt today. How many of you guys have a hard time learning on a screen? Yeah, it's taken me years of working on computers. I finally think I'm starting to learn better when I read things on my phone than when I read it out of a book. But the book helps. We get a feel for the pages. We see where the words are. We see the book. It's just a good memorization skill. I'm not sure how this works, and I'm learning it, but somehow I am, and it's amazing. So there's a lot of resources we can put. All of these things you can download onto a phone. Word Search on the right is put out by Lifeway. They have almost 300 free resources. And it's not just the weird books like a cult book or something weird nobody wants. Like, here's that book this guy couldn't sell. We'll give it to you for free on your stuff. Enjoy. They have great, great books, wonderful Bibles, amazing commentaries. They have good resources there because they want people who don't have a lot to be able to get access to the Word. It's good stuff. There's also free books and online websites like Bible Gateway. David C. Cook will give you free ebooks. Bible.org, you can find out Bibles for free. You can compare translations. You can look up information. It's beautiful. There's radio and places online. You can listen and watch videos of sermons, podcasts. You can get information. We have Christian radio. Quite frankly, we're bombarded with stuff. And no, Pastor Gene is not part of Christian radio that I'm aware of. He was my next click, but I got excited. And, of course, there are... Oh, fair enough. You're right. Forgive me, Pastor Gene is included in online media. But the reason I put him up there is because maybe this is still too daunting. Everybody knows you can always go to a friend who knows. And Gene is a great guy to do that too. He's really great to ask questions of. I love having him in the Saturday morning Bible study because sometimes he'll just sit back. He won't say anything. He could, but he doesn't. And sometimes I look over wondering, What's he thinking? Is he going to say something about this? What's going on? But he's cool, and he lets people work through things, even though I think when he has an answer. But he's a good guy. So, moving on. All these free resources are there, but here's the thing. I'd like you, just requesting, to make a commitment on there. I'd like you to write down one of these resources you're going to look up and try to use. Maybe you're already doing that. Maybe you already listen to Christian radio. Maybe you're already going through sermons online, information. Maybe you already have Bible software. But it's a wonderful tool. And it may be something that will open your eyes to a theological library you never thought of. Maybe that's not your thing. I like getting as much information as I can, and I try to absorb it. I love learning so much about certain things, you know. It was funny. Josiah can be very impatient. And yesterday, of all the days, he comes to me and says, "Daddy, I want to learn saxophone." I said, "That's great." You know, and normally he's very impatient and he gets discouraged easily. So blowing through a tube, I don't know. Has anybody ever heard beginning saxophonists? Your dogs will hate you. And it's so loud. But it was such a beautiful thing because normally he gets so frustrated and gives up. And that's what I'm like sometimes. But he kept sticking with it. And he would make a sound and he would stop to laugh about how happy he was that he made a sound on it, right? You know, I hope that we can get on something that we're afraid of and say, "Oh my goodness, I did a correct search. Look at what I found. Let me do some research." And we can have those aha moments and not feel like this is impossible. I get on some of this stuff and think, "Oh man," it's like, "Hey, I'm youngish. I should know how to do this." And sometimes it's like, "Ah, it's too much." Sometimes I get those, "Oh, I did it right. Yay!" You know? So I have those moments too. I think we all do. I think we shouldn't be afraid of it though. And we need to learn that. It's a beautiful way we can get out there and learn more about the Lord. So I'd like you to try something out too. I'd like you to try out a version just a little bit. Try out something that's different than what you're reading just to see what it's like. Maybe you already read a few versions just to see what they are. Maybe one for a devotional, one for a deep study. But try it out. You might understand maybe more of where someone's coming from. Maybe you'll understand something a little bit differently. I think it's good to expose ourselves to that, and it can help us understand a brother or sister in Christ. Now, some people, the crazy ones, will even go to the extent of trying something in another language. Because you've got to remember, the Bible just wasn't written in English. And some people will try to go back and do something. Cynthia right now is trying to learn some ancient, like, classical Hebrew. Props to Cynthia. That's cool. She's the best dancer and a theologian. So she's doing this, and that's fantastic. If you've got the heart for it, go for it. You can get a Hebrew Bible for free online. You can check up resources. You can get these Greek Bibles for free online. They're out there. It's stuff that the church waited thousands of years to get their hands on so they could put the scriptures into their own words. And we have it at our doorstep, and we don't even think about it. We have so much information that is a treasure. And some people might ask, "Why should I care?" I would say that the prophets cared. Isaiah 40, go! It's a Bible drill. You guys are behind. When you get there, say amen. And don't worry, I'll read this time. I'll make you read. Amen? Amen? Okay, that's two. Maybe three. Good job, guys. Fast fingers. You guys can't just open it up and get right to the spot. I found it funny yesterday morning at men's group. I was going through my now very aged iPad trying to get there, and guys were like, "What, you're not there yet? I'm still waiting for the thing to load." I'm like, "No, my pages are slower today." So yeah, technology isn't always quicker. All right, here's just a few versions, but I'm going to go ahead and read it in just one. You can see there that in a lot of ways and in most ways, the versions do agree. NLT says, "The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever." The English Standard Version says, "The grass withers, the flowers fade." Or the flower fades, pardon me. "But the word of our God will stand forever." King James, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." We should care because kings cared. Psalm 119, 105, flip around. That's right. You want to do it? On your mark, get set. No, shout, go. There you go. Good job. All right. All right. Good job. Good job. I know I'm mean. All right. I hear it. I hear it. I hear it. In the King James, it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." The Holman Christian Standard says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path." And the Net Bible says, "Your word is a lamp to walk by and a light to illuminate my path." Why should I care? Because Jesus cared. He cared so much. Read Matthew 5:18, please, or at least pull it up. Good job. Don't worry, guys, the light is at the end of the tunnel, and it's not a train. NASB says, "For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass away from the law until all is accomplished." King James says, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." And in Holman's, "For I assure you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or one stroke of a letter shall pass, will pass from the law until all things are accomplished." We should care because there is a mountain of scriptural evidence attributing to how close this is. And if we are upset that things might be a little hard sometimes, that maybe there are circumstances which will test our faith, that maybe it's possible we need to dig a little bit deeper than the surface on an issue, that's okay. God doesn't make everything easy for us, and sometimes we have to put a little effort, but the amazing thing is that His Spirit guides us, and He teaches us, and He loves us, and He promised that He would guide us in all truth. And we know that if we are brothers and sisters in Christ with the Spirit as our guide, we are going to be guided in that truth, and He will teach us. I would encourage you, stay in your Bible, and maybe stay in someone else's Bible. So let's go ahead and pray as we close. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for in your word showing us how much you cared about it. Thank you, God, for giving prophecy hundreds and thousands of years before things were to happen. And yet you made them come true very plainly so that we could see that your word is true. Lord God, thank you for the example you give us in Scripture on how to love the Father, on how to know and use the Word of God. It is a shield to protect us, a weapon against the enemy, and even a rod and a thing to correct even our own selves when we hold on to lies that aren't true about us. As the band would go ahead and play, I'd encourage anyone to come up here if you have anything to pray or if you have felt that the Lord is calling you to Himself. If this is your time and you'd like to pray, you're welcome to come up. If you're not comfortable, you may stay seated, of course. The Lord Jesus knows your heart.